Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today we are reading Joshua chapter 3, then we'll move over to the Psalms in 103, and then in Matthew we're picking up in the Sermon on the Mount with Matthew chapter 5 verses 13 through 32. As we read Joshua chapter 3 today, I want you to think about the significance in this story of the fact that the Israelites had to put their feet in the water before God parted the Jordan River. And I want us to think about in our own lives how God might be calling us to step out in obedience and in faith. And then, as we step out in obedience, I believe that God then works in mighty ways when He knows that we are trusting in Him and that we are looking to Him for provision. Starting with verse 1. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits, that's about 3,000 feet, between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Joshua said to the priest, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you, as I was with Moses. Tell the priest who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river." Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that He will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priest who carried the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet, as soon as the priest who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down from the Sea of the Arabah, that is, the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Wow, I wish I could have been there on that day to see this great miracle. I had never noticed before that the people crossed over opposite of Jericho. You know, the people of Jericho are already afraid of the God of all the earth. Did you notice that term used for God? And they perhaps are watching the Israelites from afar cross the Jordan River. And this is setting them up for lots of fear when the Israelites come to battle with them, which is coming in a chapter or two, the Battle of Jericho. All right, let's move on over to Psalm 103. Now, y'all know that my favorite psalm is Psalm 130, but recently I was meditating on this psalm, and goodness gracious, it's a close second of David. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field, and the wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly host, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. Let's move on over to the Gospel of Matthew, starting in verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "You shall not murder," and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, "Raca," is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, "You fool," will be in the danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery." But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. In this passage, Jesus makes it clear that sin isn't just an outward thing. It begins in the heart. There was that curious statement about unless your faithfulness or unless you are more faithful than the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. When I think about the Pharisees, I think about outward expressions of the law. They had their outward expressions down to a T, but Jesus continually called out their heart of wickedness. And so they were emphasizing right actions, but their hearts were far from the right place. And Jesus is preaching that those who truly belong to the kingdom of heaven have a righteousness that exceeds the Pharisees. There are people whose hearts are close to the Lord, whose hearts are turned over to the Lord, and whose hearts are desirous of the Lord to purify them. Okay, we're praying through the attributes of God again today. We're making our way through the alphabet. I think we're on L today, so we'll do L, M, N, O, and P. And I hope you have a wonderful day. Will you pray with me? Lord, as I read these attributes of you, I'm just reminded of how wonderful you are. You are the Lamb of God. You are life for us. You are the light of the world, and you've called us to be a light, as the passage said today. You are loving. You are our Lord. And so we submit to you. We thank you, Lord, for you are the maker of all things. You are the one who has become our mediator, Jesus, between the Father and us. We thank you for being merciful and mighty. You are the name above all names, and you are our never failing, never giving up God. We thank you for offering yourself for our sin. We thank you for your omnipotence and your omnipresence and your omniscience, that you are all powerful and all present and all knowing. And thank you, Father, that you pardon our sins. You are the Passover lamb. You are patient with us and you bring us peace. We pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.